Welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, November the 15th, 2025. It is season 19, episode 36 here. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. That clap you just heard was my little clapboard, my little movie clapboard. And if you, well, if you're watching it, then you saw it. But yes, my little movie clapboard that RJ got us. Still working. And it still helps me sync up the sound when I make the video of this stuff. Hey, if you want to join us, then you can pop into, you know, the Discord. And you can talk to us on there. In fact, I just restarted it. Had an update. I got to go and reconnect. Okay, I'm back in the channel. So there we go. There I am. All right, cool. So yeah, we got the Discord going on. You can do that. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can hit us up on Facebook there, in-game chat. Also, you, what are we at? Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, type in-game chat. You can find us there and join us in the chat room. Watch us live while we broadcast the show. And for some reason, my phone is now dictating everything that I just said. There we go. I guess somewhere in there it heard the S-I-R-I word and decided, I'm going to take dictation. I'm going to listen to every word he says until he pauses, and he hasn't paused yet. And then I'm going to spit out this thing of whatever I found on the internet that sounds like what he just said. So, yeah. Whatever. Phone. Welcome into the show, everybody. I did do the clapboard. I want to give a heads up real quick to apparently nobody, because it looks like chat room's empty. Refreshing right now. There's AC Wraith. He's in there. Listen, I'll give a quick heads up, not only right now, but probably throughout the show, just as a reminder. So, next week is the last show we'll do for the month of November. The 22nd, we'll do a show. We'll be talking about our Black Friday deals, as we normally do, going through those. I will then edit that show to replay over the Thanksgiving weekend on the 29th, so that most of those deals will likely still be in effect in case you missed them or in case you want to refresh or in case you're listening and it's just like, oh yeah, I need to grab that, you know? Mm-hmm. Whatever the case, that's what I always do. I rerun those shows back to back. So to get ahead of that a little bit, I got to tell you right now, I don't know where you're listening to us at. Obviously, if you're local, take advantage if you want to. If you're not local, you need to kind of search it out and find it. But you got a Costco nearby. They are currently selling the Donkey Kong Bonanza game, normally $70. They got it down to $40. Don't go online and search for your Costco to show it. It'll show regular price. You have to do some kind of warehouse search. I don't know how that works, but it'll show you if it's in stock locally there, and it'll show you at the price, too. Regardless, if you've got one nearby and you're looking for this game, it's $40. I don't know for how long. It was like that yesterday. It is still that way today. If stock exists, I would go and check it out at your local Costco there for a $40. It's $30 off. It's the price that game should be. It's basically what it is. No, I would pay. I'd pay 50 for that. I would if it was full price, I would have had no problem paying 50 for that game. As it stands, paying 40 for it right now, not a problem at all. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love a deal.
I think I've said it before that not a lot of games out there worthy of a day one full price purchase.
Mostly, so, yeah. No, you're right. Also, if you are military and you've got a base exchange nearby, there's some great deals to be had there. PlayStation Slim 1 terabyte edition, or PlayStation 5 Slim 1 terabyte edition, mm-hmm. is like $330 or something. It's extremely cheap for a PlayStation 5. Obviously, you got to be military to get that deal, but and they've got to also have it in stock. But that is the price. Another price that I saw, and again, it is based on the base exchange. So this only applies to you if you're military. I think retired military can make it on there too, I believe. You still have access. Matt, if you're listening, he's playing Ball Pit right now. Good job, Matt. So I really, really like Ball Pit. So anyway, if you got a base exchange, they also have the Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 for the Switch 2 down to, I think, $50 on that one.
Okay.
Which is down from, I think, $70 or $80. I don't know what the hell they're charging for that thing. It's overpriced, whatever it is. Honestly, $50 is a little bit much for a game that came out on the, was it the Wii U? No, it was the Wii. Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
I think Galaxy and Galaxy 2, I think, originally released on the Wii. Which, again, you're just doing a remaster. Why are you selling it for $70? Ugh. Even digitally, $70. It's just ridiculous.
See, 2007 when it came out. So, yeah, Nintendo Switch, Wii, NVIDIA Shield TV.
Well, that's what it's available on now.
Yeah.
Because you can get it on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have the game as part of that 3D Mario collection they released back on the Switch, which had Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those games on one cart for the Switch. That particular version of Mario Galaxy did not get an upgrade to a Switch 2. You can play it on a Switch 2, but it didn't get any kind of an upgrade like you would be if you were playing the double pack Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 that was originally there that were released for the Switch 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it gets confusing when you go into it.
I was looking up Costco while you were explaining that. It says you have to sign in to get the price, and I did, and it says 63.
Right.
Like you have to do some kind of
warehouse search. And I don't exactly know how that whole thing works.
Mm. It says available, but low stock in Montgomery. So if you are in the area and you want the game, you might want to go check it out now. It says low stock in the warehouse.
Yeah, I don't know how you can get that. I don't know how you can look that up.
Yeah.
But it's something, you know, I could probably go to my forums here and find out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also just show up at Costco. It's likely...
Okay.
That they have that.
Okay, wait, Isabel. This is the price of the item sold online. Additional shipping charges may apply. This item may be available at a warehouse. Pricing may vary. So
correct.
So probably is 40 on the $40 in store, like you said.
Yeah, I'm trying to look here to see if I found a way to look that up. I'm looking through the thread here. Regardless, if we're talking to you locally, they got it here.
Yeah.
But if you want to check your particular stir, and I'm really trying to find... There we go. Okay. You can verify the price via the Costco app. You click the warehouse tab... You search the warehouse inventory for your location, and then it shows up that way. $39.97 is what it is showing up as.
Hmm.
I'm checking a look here to see what else they had. Yeah, Pokemon Legends is like $65, which is the normal price. But $39.97, $40 for Bonanza. Came out in July, which is why I kind of understand that maybe it's got a little discount right now. Normally, you don't see Nintendo's go that low.
At all.
Yeah. I know. This doesn't even feel like it's a Black Friday deal. This just feels like, I don't even think it's a price error. It feels like we have had this game for months sitting on the shelf. Let's drop the price to get it on there so we can get it out of the, get it out. It, I mean, it doesn't say that it's clearance priced, you know, it just, you know?
Yeah, July 17th is when it came out, so, you know.
Yeah. Let me tell you, we are going to go some kind of nuts for our Black Friday deals.
Could you predict anything that I'd be desperate to be moved?
Desperate to be moved? In other words, what do you mean?
Something like Donkey Kong Bonanza, like
where they got too much on the shelves and they want to get rid of it.
Want to move the stock out?
No, I couldn't. I don't know. I have no idea what that would be. I was really surprised by this. This is just speculation that that's what they're doing. I have no clue as to why that price is what it is. Because, again, it doesn't reference that it's clearance. Like, it doesn't say that it's clearance priced. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even show that it's specially priced, you know? It just says, here's the price of it. Mm-hmm. At least the image I had of what the tag said here in this thread. So, if you got a Costco, go pick it up, and that if that's what you want. Mm-hmm. The other thing, what else did I see? There were other things I was seeing. As far as what may be predicting... the Pokemon game just came out like a couple of weeks back. Came out in October. You're not going to see a price drop on that unless it's a price error or they take $10 off. I don't really see it happening. It's a Nintendo property. It's a Nintendo game. They don't do this. The Bonanza thing is not a Nintendo thing. You can't go anywhere else and find it for that price. That is something that the store did. You know, they're selling it for that price. Nintendo did announce that they were doing some Black Friday deals that I believe start this coming week or at the end of this week. But it's not great. They have a list of games, and I'd have to go through and show you the list, I guess. Nothing really stands out as being newly released, and most of them are Switch 1 titles. They're not Switch 2. You can get them upgraded to Switch 2. But the Switch 1 titles are selling, I think, from 25, I think it was from 30 to 40 bucks, I think. $29.99 and $39.99 is what they dropped them down to. Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is in there. Princess Peach Showtime, I think, is another one that's on there. Donkey Kong Country Returns is being sold for $30. While some of the others are being sold for $40, Donkey Kong Country Returns came out this year, I think, or maybe late last year, while some of the others that are even higher priced came out before then. But still, what else was on that list that I was really interested in? The Zelda game where you play as Zelda recently. Spirits Within or Spirits, I don't remember what it's called, but yeah. That one's on sale, I think. I think Mario Odyssey is on sale. Somewhere I saw that Mario Wonder was on sale, but I can't remember where I saw that. Super Mario Wonder, I think, was down to like $40 as well. So, I'm sorry. This is my favorite time of year. It really honestly is. Chasing sales, chasing deals, looking for a really good deal is just, it's an absolute joy I get from it. I do not know why. I have no idea why, but it is so much fun to kind of seek these out and try and find them.
No, I mean, it's understandable.
Yeah.
Spending 30 instead of 70? Yeah. Who wouldn't like that?
I know. God. I'm going to open up the Black Friday spreadsheet here to see what we've got so far. Okay, we're getting some stuff.
Speaking of it, it's always earlier than normal, isn't it?
What?
The sales for Black Friday, they always push it back a little more instead of like 5 days before, they push a week before, and then the next year it's like 2 weeks before.
I know Best Buy, so the year I bought my, the year I got my TV, and I don't remember what year it was, but it's been a minute. It was pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 2019, 2018, I can't remember, that I got my OLED.
Yeah.
The Black Friday pricing had already taken effect come like November 1 for a lot of big ticket items.
Mm-hmm.
And by big ticket items, I don't mean items that everybody wanted, but items that were literally high priced. You know, like that TV plus all the different. I had tons of credit from rewards because you were on the. They had not changed up how Best Buy did their reward system now. It's completely different now. You have to subscribe for $200 a year to be on some kind of thing and get better rewards and all this stuff. I can't remember what it's called, yeah. But I was like, no, I don't shop enough at your place to do that. And especially after the pandemic, I didn't shop hardly at all at that place because there was nothing being released physically because movies weren't being sent to theaters because nobody was going to watch them. They were sending them straight to home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a weird time, obviously. But so at the time I bought that TV, I had $200 or $300 in credit, maybe $350, and the price on the TV was already knocked off by like I think $700 had been knocked off the TV. So then I was throwing in almost $1,000 off total.
Mm.
I think I paid $600 for the television, which it was over $1,000.
Mm.
But I think I walked away with like $600 on paying for that television.
Mm.
Still using it today, still looks great. OLED is chef's kiss of technology. Beautiful screen.
It says my Best Buy total, $180 a year.
Yeah, it's, yeah, exactly. No, I'm not doing that. Speaking of, by the way, deals again. Walmart Plus normally is $999. Yeah, I know. Walmart Plus is normally $99 a year. Now, it's like 12-something a month if you want to go with that. But currently, and around this time, apparently every year, they run a special for half off. Last year, around this time, I signed up for $50 and got a whole year of Walmart Plus, which was great. My account or my membership expired on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, they have a $50 offer. So I just let it expire and then re-signed up again. Yep. Otherwise, it renews at the higher price. It renews at $100. And I was like, no, you're not taking $100 for me for Walmart Plus. I gave about $50 for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I let it expire and then I signed right back up for the Walmart Plus. So I say that only for the fact that a lot of their Black Friday deals on Walmart Plus are open to Plus members ahead of everybody else. Actually, Walmart Plus is not bad for getting things delivered, for getting special deals, for even your membership comes, I think, with either Paramount Plus or Peacock if you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with the ad version. However, you can get the ad version and then just pay the difference to get the non-ad version. So you can get the full experience with no ads for cheaper than you could otherwise. I mean, you still got to pay the $50 for the Walmart Plus, but mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, that's another little tip for you that you may or may not have known about. But yeah, there you go. So I'm looking at the Black Friday spreadsheet. There's very little to show you right now. Currently, it looks like Donkey Kong Country Returns is $40. Kirby Returns to Dreamland Deluxe for the Nintendo Switch is $40. Echoes of Wisdom, that's the Zelda game where you play as Zelda. Legends of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, that's $40 as well. What else do we have? Princess Peach Showtime is $40. Super Mario Odyssey is $30. So, there you go. Surprised I don't have the... Let's see. Systems? We got any system sales? MetaQuest 3S with 12 months of Meta Horizon Plus. If you're at Costco, you can get that for $250 right now. What else do we have? Yeah, it's just not showing that base exchange stuff. It does have Costco has the PlayStation 5 Slim disc console with an extra controller for $480. That's not a bad deal. First off, it is the disc console, not the digital version.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually buy physical media and plug it into your put it into your PlayStation. I mean, the PlayStation 5 originally sold for $500 or $600.
I want to say six.
I thought it was six too. Mm-hmm. So getting a PlayStation 5, the slim version, probably a terabyte of memory in there, and an extra controller, which is normally $70, not on sale.
Yeah.
And you're getting it for $480. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and when I picked up my...
you just bought one.
I just got one for the Astrobot version, and it was, was it $450?
Yeah?
Yeah, $450, so...
Yeah, pretty good deal, you get an extra controller.
And considering the price jump that we had recently had, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, just for you folks who are like, you know what, it's only me, I don't need an extra controller. Yeah, you do. Hang on to it. Trust.
Like a lot of technology, things are like built to fail after certain...
I have never had a console where I've only stayed with the one controller they got me. And that's not necessarily because the controller goes bad over time, although in the case of my PS4, it was. Because that controller, for whatever reason, I had multiples of those. Like, hey, this is working great for like months and months and years and years. And then suddenly, hey, it's not working anymore, or it's drifting, or it's being weird.
Yeah, I haven't had to buy spare controllers since PS3. PS3 is when I had to start buying spare controllers because of issues with the vibration. Maybe the vibration and the spinning of thing was wearing down over time and messing everything up.
That happened to me with PlayStation 4. I was playing, I think it was Destiny. It could have been PlayStation 3. I can't remember. But I had a controller issue with my PlayStation, one of them, 3 or 4. Bought a new controller. With my PlayStation 5, I've still got the original controller. It works great. However, there was a TikTok deal or something that had them for like $35 for a PlayStation 5 controller.
Sad that I missed that because I...
it was last year.
Yeah, okay. Well, I only have the one PS5 controller that came with the console. And
if you're in the market, I'll keep...
Okay.
If you're in the market, I'm looking out for you, buddy.
I'm looking for a spare on that one.
I will keep my eye out. And anything I see, I'm going to send you a text and let you know, like, hey, they got this.
Appreciate it.
Oh, definitely. Because that was a real great deal, and I hooked it up to my PC because my intention was Ghosts of Tsushima or any of the PS5 games that are getting PC ports.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be able to use a PS5 DualSense on my PC and still get the haptic feedback, all the controls that I normally would play it on the console. Mm. Because you can map the drive and you can map the buttons and all that other stuff. So anyway, really good deal.
I was thinking about I think the last original from start to finish controller that I didn't have to replace. I want to say the out of the 2600 or the Master System that I never had to replace. But then again, those were very simple controllers, not much to them.
I never had to replace my NES Advantage. I didn't play with the regular square controllers because at that time my brain didn't function the way that I could. In my entire life, I'm used to a joystick. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, my entire life, I'm used to playing with a joystick and buttons. That's it. And thank God for the NES Advantage because that gave me that and that's how I played it. Mm-hmm. I didn't move on from that until the Super Nintendo. Because they eventually made a NES Advantage or a Super NES Advantage or something for it. But by the time they released it, I had already gotten comfortable with the way the thumb pad worked.
Yeah.
It also wasn't that square rectangle thing that just looked uncomfortable. They had rounded the corners and everything, so it made it more comfortable to use.
Yeah.
I was fine once that happened. But when it first started, I got that NES Advantage. And this is going back to 85, 86.
Mm-hmm.
With a Nintendo release, and that's all you had. You had that until sometime in the 90s when the Super Nintendo released, maybe 1990, I don't know, 90 or 91, I don't remember, but for like 5 years, and game after game after game after game, it was the Advantage. That's what I was playing with.
Mm-hmm.
I used that thing a ton. Never had to buy a new one. Mm-hmm. Nothing on it ever went bad. So, yeah. Good quality stuff there from way back when. But that's how it usually goes. The more you add to something, the more chance there is to break. And the amount of stuff inside your controller these days.
Yeah. And all the functions that it has.
Gyroscopes, vibration little motors and things like that. Just all kinds of things that are just prone to, someday stop working.
Mm-hmm.
just how it happens. We haven't even gotten into the full show, and we already got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to go into what we played, because we haven't even talked about that. We're just going off deals. I really love good deals. So we're going to go to a break here. We've got music here from... Is this our... We're doing old stuff today, aren't we? We did new stuff last week, right?
Yeah, the newest stuff was going through last week.
Yeah. So this is a game called Zero Wing, and it's called Open Your Eyes. You remember Zero Wing? Is that something you remember? You gave a chuckle.
Is that the one where all your bases are belong to us came
is
from?
Is it?
And I wanted... We do a quick check, right? Quick
I
check.
Did not know.
Because if it is...
This is Know Your Meme, everybody. Know Your Video Game Meme, so. Everybody. Let's see.
Oh my goodness, it was like popped up in thing. Yeah, based on a poorly translated phrase from the opening cutscene of the game Zero Wing.
Hey! Yep. That's it. Know Your Meme, everybody. There you go. RJ called it. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this, he said. Back into In-Game Chat. Fun little ditty there. Maze of Gallius. It's the world theme, apparently. And it ends. Anyway, it looked kind of piratey. The cover box did when I was grabbing the YouTube videos and stuff, so... AC Wraith says, I'd take a new Steam controller. Hey, we're going to be talking about that. AC Wraith says he also has $2.71 in Steam credit. So come on, deep discounts. I still got $20 in credit sitting in my Steam wallet. I've actually bought games, but I have neglected to use the Steam credit. I'm hanging on to that so I can add to it and then wait for the sales to come around.
Mm-hmm.
Come December, usually the holiday sales. They're going to have a sale for Black Friday, but I'll probably pass on that and hold off until, I mean, depending, you know, unless there's something like, oh, hey, that's only like a fiver. I'll throw that down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how that pans out. It says he'd like a new Steam controller, and we're going to talk about that too. We haven't even gotten into what we've been playing recently, so let's go over that, RJ. What have you been doing, man?
Well, usually the standard fare, but got back into Grand Theft Auto Online.
Okay.
Started selling drugs again.
But, so, yeah, well, you know that old chestnut.
Yeah. Hey. Worth money, man. Still one of the biggest money earners in the game. But there was a new feature that they put in there. I think enough people have been talking about getting mansions in the game.
Yeah.
And so they did a little prelude operation. So they made the in addition to the Mr. Faber work, the money laundering additions that they added.
Yeah.
So basically it's like real estate, like clearing out squatters and making criminal activity revolving around real estate and land ownership, things like that. So you had about three little missions they threw in there, and they give you a little motivation that if you do all the three missions, they give you $1 million in-game currency, and they'll give you a...
$1 million in-game currency ain't actually much, is it?
No, not really. Not really, but it's better than nothing.
I mean, obviously, it's better than nothing, but the average.
Yeah, like, I mean, the big things you get to buy in the game, like businesses and things of that nature, it takes a significantly more than a million.
Yeah.
You're going to have to earn some stuff to do that. But a million, you might get a mid-grade vehicle, something that...
$1 million for a mid-grade vehicle.
Well, bear in mind how Rockstar's online things work.
Oh, no, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. When you get $1 million just for completing a mission... Obviously, the economy's a little messed up to where, that's low.
Yeah.
Because the economy in game.
The in game economy's always been jacked.
Yes.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, you got to do some serious grinding.
Because of how easy it is to get money.
Yeah. Well, know how much things cost.
Yeah.
In the game. So, like I said, you do the three missions and you get a million, and they'll give you a $2 million discount on the mansions that come out sometime in December.
Yeah.
So if I'm thinking if it's a $2 million discount, I'm thinking these things are gonna be $20 million probably to pick up a mansion in game. But missions themselves are pretty straightforward, not too difficult. Unless you upgrade the difficulty or whatever, but you get more money that way because they're double respect and double money this week.
Yeah.
So doing those is gonna be worth your while to get some quick cash.
Anything else you played?
Yep.
That was pretty much it?
The Buster Standard Fare.
Are you still playing that on PS4, or did you transfer over to PS5?
No, it's on PS4.
Okay.
It's on. Other than MLB The Show 25, Virtual Fighter 5, of course, and those two, and just threw in Grand Theft Auto this week.
Okay.
Doing that.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking about... Can you move from... Do they have GTA 5 for PS5?
I can't imagine them not.
Did they do releases on the new consoles?
They probably did, but it's still working on...
Oh, no, I get it.
So, yeah, I'm still doing it.
But, you know, holidays are coming up, man. I'm trying to think about something to get you. I'm not getting you a $70 controller. Now, if I do see a deal on one, I may not tell you. I may just grab it and be like, hey, I got you this on the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, something. Oh, I did see, where was it? Elden Ring, Night Rain. The whole Elden Ring, Night Rain with the Shadow of Erdtree edition with Night Rain into it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw somewhere for like $40.
Can't recall where, though?
You know.
We got the internet right in front of us, right?
I do. We do have the internet right in front of us. And if we go to Mr. Wario 64. Let's see, Wario 64, Elden Ring. Mm-hmm. What do we have here? And how long ago did he post this? Forgive me, folks. Anytime there's a deal, I'm going to be doing... This is what I'm going to do.
Deal hunting.
See, that's not the deal I'm looking for. Mm. 2 days ago. There we go. It's PS5. It's $40. Come on. It's at Amazon. It is... Nope, I'm sorry. It is... Oh, wow. Never mind. That price has gone back up. Mm. So that was 2 days ago that it was $40. And it was only the Shadow of the Erdtree edition, not... It did not have the Night Rain whatever thing.
Night Rain edit, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think Night Rain is still $40 standalone, right?
I think it is.
Yeah.
But this was $40 on Amazon. That was 2 days ago he posted that. It is no longer 2 days. Or it is no longer that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, I'll keep an eye out. And let you know. Are you still in search for that game?
I was still looking at it, yeah.
Hang on, let me ban somebody from the chat here. There we go. So, as for me, is the week... The week was not really conducive to me getting any game time in. Starting Wednesday on into the weekend, I really didn't have a lot of time for any games. It's just a really rough week. Monday and Tuesday, I put some time in with, I think, Ball Pit. I've made it to the final level of Ball Pit, but you have to beat the final level with 8 different characters. in order to actually get the ending.
Okay.
So
you had the pair system that you were talking about last
time? Right, I've beaten it with two.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided not to go further just yet. I did start taking characters and going back through and playing the faster modes of previous levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I also started looking at some videos about different combinations of the balls that you can have, the fusions and evolutions that you can do. In a sense, yes, I've been going back to play the older levels, but on a faster or on a more difficult mode. It is not, by the way, any more difficult than it was the first time. It's quicker, which is nice,
mm-hmm.
But it's not any more difficult. In fact, I am just mowing them down, mainly because I've leveled up myself so much. It's one of those things I do where it's like I get, you know, I try to do everything I can before I beat the game.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I get to the end of the game, or at least one of the ends of the game, this has a new game plus in it. By the time I get to one of the ends of the games, I mean, I am really, really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So going back through these older levels on a higher difficulty, shorter time, higher difficulty is it's just being amazing. So what I'm actually doing now is kind of achievement hunting. I say achievement hunting. I'll get achievements for it. But I'm trying to fill out my encyclopedia. So I'm trying to discover all the evolutions, all the different things you can do, find all the enemies, find all the upgrades, trying to fill all that stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, you're more into unlocking things instead of, like, seeking trophies.
I just know if I don't do it before the end of the game, I likely will not have the motivation to do it afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I would like to do that. Some of it's tough because it's so RNG based.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain, one of the balls that you can evolve is called Nosferatu. That takes three different evolved balls to merge into one.
Mm.
So to explain that even further, an evolved ball are two balls merged into one.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that three times before you can then merge all three of those into one thing.
How much does it take to merge two balls into an evolved one?
Well, it takes them both being at level 3, which is the highest level you can get them at.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I have buffed everything up enough that I can start the game with the two characters I pick at level 3 already with whatever ball they come with.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also start the game by picking an extra ball to go with it at the beginning. So I can start with three balls at level 3, I think, all three of them being at level 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's helpful to mm-hmm. get what I need. But you're still at the mercy of RNG to make up what you have to make up. I don't remember what the power of Nosferatu is. It's something where you get health, but he also drains whatever. This morning I made Satan. Yeah, I did. You have to make the incubus and the succubus. And when you do that, you can then merge them into one thing and they become Satan. And I can't remember what he does, but my God, the just mowed down enemies. It was fantastic. Earlier, before that, are you looking these up?
Yeah, Nosferatu is an evolution of the Vampire Lord, Mosquito King, and Spider Queen balls
uh-huh.
in the game Ball Pit. It is a secret powerful ball combination that requires three evolved balls to form.
Yeah.
This evolution causes the player's vampire bats to become more potent, dealing damage, and turning into vampire lords upon contact.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's not like somebody just causes mass hysteria on the playing field.
It really does.
Yeah.
I did a baby ball build, which... there are a few characters in the game that say they don't do baby balls. They just have their special ball, and that's it.
Sorry, under the description, there's a link to a video on YouTube about the Nosferatu ball, and it says, this ball is just plain busted.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've seen some busted builds, let me mm-hmm. tell you. I have seen some insanely busted builds. But the base building is great. All the different balls are great. I did a baby ball build this morning that practically the entire screen was just full of balls bouncing around.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can add to, like, there are these two characters. They're called the twins, and they shoot out just tons of baby balls. Except the baby balls are half power. Mm-hmm. In other words, normally if they're at 100%, they're at 50% when you pick this character to start with. But there's an upgrade that you can get that will increase the power of the baby balls if you can, if RNG is good to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I pick him, and then I pick one of the other characters that has the egg sac, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. The egg sac, when it hits enemies, it has like a 25% chance to blow up into baby balls. So I went that route, did a bunch, and I mean, the screen was just loaded with all these balls going around. I was clearing the field. Oh, God, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was great. So, yeah, it was wonderful. I'm really enjoying going back through those and doing that. So, but I haven't beaten the game yet, but I am on the brink of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I didn't get a lot of time to play this week. It's been Marvel Snap, and it's been Ball Pit when I get the chance. And after Wednesday, I just never had the chance. Mm-hmm. So that'll be something I do tomorrow, is get some game time in that I haven't been able to do. So anyway, that was my week with gaming. We're going to talk about some news. We got plenty of news to talk about, actually. That Steam came out with some really big news of their own. Coming next year, we're getting a new Steam machine. Been a long time since I've said Steam machine. I remember when they used to sell Steam machines. Way back when.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a new Steam controller. You know, if we're going down deja vu here, I remember when Steam sold a controller. I still have it.
Yeah, the Elite, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's called the Elite.
Mm.
We called it the Owl because it had these big mouse thumb pads on either side, looked like an owl face.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it was called. It had a name. I don't think it was just called Steam Controller, but are you looking it up now?
I'm looking it up, yeah.
You may. I don't know if they're. I don't know if your results are getting the recent one that they announced, which looks different, or yeah, if it's the old one.
Yeah, it's the new one that keeps popping up.
If you type in old Steam controller, you'll probably have it show
up
there.
I looked up classic Steam controller, but I'm seeing a bunch of eBay.
First gen Steam controller, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, Steam controllers on eBay, no dongle, controller only. And I see the owl reference you're talking to. These two huge circles or indentions in the upper left and upper right corners.
That was to simulate your mouse.
Yeah. Steam controller model 1001 PC?
I guess, sure.
Something like that.
Anyway, so they announced new Steam machines, they announced new Steam controller, and they announced new Steam VR, all coming out next year. At the beginning of the year, I think we will get information on release and price. So we're going to go over some of that in the show here, just to talk about that. If you want to get into PC gaming, this Steam machine might be a thing for you. We don't know yet on the price, though, so I can't really give you any idea. I haven't really done any research on the specs, everything that's inside of it. I don't necessarily know that we know everything that's inside of it, but we did hear at least some representative who was at this big unveiling for this thing mentioned to a reporter of some kind saying that the Steam machine is good or better than what 70% of the Steam population is currently using. Steam, as a desktop app on your PC, you can allow it to get information about your system. And it's something that they do to say, okay, we've got this percentage of users running Windows, this percentage of users running, you know, Linux, this percentage of Windows users are using this type of graphics card or this type of processor, or they have this much RAM. It's just strictly for statistics. Which it's nice. I've totally let them have information as far as like what I'm running to show that. And so this, apparently the Steam machine is as good or better than what 70% of the Steam community currently uses. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good PC for gaming on. But I don't yet know the price to tell you if it's actually worth it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the price is just yet. It'll be hard to say because I don't know when they started working on this stuff or what they've got, you know, how long it's been in the process, because computer parts right now, especially memory, both RAM and media storage, is skyrocketing. The price is just going massive. So I don't know what you're going to get out of this. It's also very tiny. It's a very tiny steam machine. They've called it the Gabe Cube. Because Gabe Newell runs Steam, so they called it the Gabe Cube. But it's a tiny little thing. But yeah, we'll get into that. We'll talk about that. What else do we have to talk about? I don't think we're going to talk about the GTA 6 being delayed again. That happened. But there are the Steam machines for that. Oh, I have not really an update, but we'll talk about Splinter Cell for a hot minute. Just because there was something that we found out. We've got more layoffs to talk about. A new MMO announced from a legacy game, but a game that already exists. They're turning into an MMO. We got the Mario Galaxy movie trailer that was shown off this week as well. So, anyway, plenty to talk about when we come back, and we're not just there yet. Oh, there was a PlayStation State of Play, but it was Japanese.
Yeah, Japanese State of Play.
Yeah, we got that as well, and got some information from that. Night Rain DLC coming by March for Elden Ring. Everybody was hoping, man. Everybody hopes every time there's a State of Play, is this the one where they announce the Bloodborne remaster?
Mm-hmm.
And every time we get a From Software logo or something that is real close to it, everybody gets their hopes
everybody
up. Everybody raises the eyebrow. Yep. Everybody's like, nope. It's not that time. I know how you feel because I've been living with it for like since 2013, waiting patiently for a new Splinter Cell game. Every time I get a Ubisoft logo, every time Ubisoft announces new things and there's a hush or a one more thing or a let's see what our next game is and it's all a black screen, you're waiting for that noise, you're waiting for that sound of the night vision goggles to turn on and thinking, this is it! And it never is. Never is. A TV show is good, though, by the way. I get it I've not even finished it. I'm on episode 3 or 4, and it is really good. I am very much enjoying it. I'm taking it in small doses, obviously, but I've enjoyed the small doses I've had so far. So I get why it's getting a second season. What else do we have? Because it's not time for us to go yet. Elder Scrolls 6 is still a long way off. It was announced at E3 2018 with a very brief teaser trailer that absolutely showed you nothing except for like a mountain chain. That was it. They just said, hey, game's in pre-production right now. Then we heard nothing. Speaking to GQ Magazine, of all things, Todd Howard from Bethesda Software said that the game is still a long way off, adding, I'm preaching patience. I don't want fans to feel anxious. He also noted that he doesn't like announcing release dates for games and having players wait a long time for that day to arrive. He said, quoting, I like to just announce stuff and release it, he explained. My perfect version, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, is that it's going to be a while, and then one day the game will just appear. Asked if he wanted Bethesda to shadow drop the Elder Scrolls 6 like it did with Oblivion Remastered, he replied, you might say that was a test run. It worked out well. I cannot see. I mean, I guess I can. I could see him dropping Elder Scrolls 6. The built-in audience for that, the amount of people who don't care that you would release a trailer, if you just release the game, they would just be there. That was it. They would just jump, you know? Oh, Elder Scrolls 6 is out. I'm headed out there to get it, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I've worked here in radio, and I've seen shadow-dropped albums, you know, where it's just like, holy crap, they just released an album. Because they are so successful enough that they don't need the record label push behind it. They don't need the announcement ahead of time. Beyonce did it a couple of years back.
Mm-hmm.
Just, boom, whole album right there, day one. There you go. No tease, no announcement, no nothing, just dropped.
And just a by the way, here.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
She did that. There's been a couple of artists who have just dropped the album without, you know, any sort of hype build up. All of them, there you go, ready for you right now. Games have done that, but it's been the smaller type indie stuff. You know what I'm saying? Hi-Fi Rush was a game where it's just like, boom, here it is, it's out today. Mm-hmm. You've never seen it before, we're showing you the trailer, and it's available now.
Mm-hmm.
So on
a
some
of, a lot of those sleeper hits are like that. Just
yeah, but on something like you don't need hype for the Elder Scrolls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
GTA 6 doesn't need hype.
Mm-hmm.
You just drop it, you know, and they're there. Doesn't matter. They don't care about the trailer. They do, but we watch the trailer so not only we can see game footage, but we can get, when's it coming out?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to know. It doesn't necessarily help because obviously we've pushed it back. So just release it when it's ready and don't tell anybody. Be fantastic. I would love to see that on something high profile like GTA 6 or like Elder Scrolls 6. I think there's a certain amount of games you could do that with that you couldn't with anything else. Those are two that you could easily do that with. So, anyway, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we will jump into the Steam machines, the Steam frame is what they're calling the VR, and then whatever they're calling the Steam controller. I'm not sure that they have a name, but anyway. Got music here from, oh my goodness, we're going back to the Commodore 64 days. This is the theme to Zach McCracken. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Excuse me. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music from a Game Boy, of all things. This was Jurassic Park on the Game Boy system, level 1. Anyway, welcome back into the show. Reading some comments here from the chat room. Lethal Migram, I'm excited for the Gamers Nexus report Steve is working on about what a racket NVIDIA is running. I considered today, for the first time in a long time, getting a 9600 XT, which is one of the Radeon cards, or AMD cards, instead of NVIDIA cards. By the way, talking about cards, we're talking about graphics cards that goes inside your PC. The 9600 XT, I have seen for around 600 in places, and it has 16 gigs of VRAM, I think, built into it. Mine currently only has 12. Not necessarily saying that I need the, you know, extra 4 gigs of RAM, although it's not bad to have. The purpose of it being is that, again, PC components are going up in price.
Mm-hmm.
The next card that releases is going to be something, catastrophic, but outlandish in price for what it is. This would be a nice little, be a small jump up, but it would last me for a good while, being the fact that it's a 16 gig card.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to look at the specs of what I've got for my 3080 and what I would get out of a 9600 XT. To see if it's even worth trying to do that or possibly trying to do that. It's not necessarily a thing that I'm totally jumping on. because even at six, that's still a whole lot of money. So, yeah, I'm neither here nor there on that just yet. But it did cause me to look into it. So, next thing that Lethal Migraine says, Bethesda will probably get shut down before Elder Scrolls 6 ever comes out. They really need to... you say that, but I think Fallout's doing well for them. I know they're getting kickbacks not only from the series, but also from all the different sales of Fallout that's been going on. Fallout 76 doing pretty good, from what I understand. Better than it did at launch. So, I think it'll be fine, but you know, we'll see. And what else he says? Oh, well, he's talking about something in between commercial breaks here. So, let's jump back into the news and talk Valve and their Steam products. We got an announcement of three new products. The Steam Frame, which is their new wireless VR headset. The Steam Machine, which is a compact, and it is, living room gaming box. And the Steam Controller, which can go with that, can go with your Steam Deck and that sort of thing. So, yeah, there's a lot there. I don't know if I want to jump into the VR aspect of it just yet. But let's see if we can find the specs on... Here we go. Here's the specs on the Steam Machine. It's got a 6-core AMD Zen 4. It's got 16 gigs of RAM. The GPU is a semi-custom RDNA 3. That tells me nothing, but I will read the article to see if I can get some more. The VRAM. I told you that my card has 12 gigs of VRAM. This card has 8 gigs of VRAM. That's good. The standard 3080 card, which was still pricey as hell, like $800, was back when it released, was 10 gigs of VRAM, so you're getting two less on this one with the 8 gigs. Storage, there's an option, 512 gigs or 2 terabytes. I would imagine if Steam is, or I say that, I would imagine that if Valve is anything like any of their other products that they've released, specifically I'm thinking of the Steam Deck, this cube, this Steam Machine, is likely something you can tinker with if you know how.
Yeah, I mean, that's a heck of a jump, though, isn't it? 512 to 2 terabytes.
Right, yeah.
I mean, where's the one? I thought they have a tier like 512, 1, and then 2.
But right.
Go it's straight just, to 2. Just skip 1.
Well, because that means your option, that limits your options. You either got to suffer through having just 512 gigs, or you pay whatever the extra price is to get the 2. Putting one in the middle...
Or modding it to be in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I bought my Steam Deck, which is right over there, by the way, behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my microphone's covering up. Voila. There it is. The Steam Deck that I got was the lowest, 64 gigs of storage. And, you know, I was like, well, no, I'm buying the cheaper version because then I'm going to buy a memory card, or not a memory card, but a new hard drive to stick in it.
Yeah.
Which I did, and they allow you to do that. You don't, you're not breaking warranty in doing that. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think you are, but they don't necessarily, they don't discourage you from doing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's in there. You can do it. You can do it easily. I modded the thing. I mean, there's a lot you can do with it, and I imagine the Steam Machine is going to be the same way.
Yeah.
It says the Steam Machine, okay, what else do we have? OS, a Steam OS, release windows next year. We don't know the price. Steam Machine is a natural follow-up to the Steam Deck, the lower-power handheld, proved that Steam OS works for PC gaming, and the Steam Machine is more of the same, only more powerful and less portable. It's been designed to blend in and fit into standard-size shelving unit. It's a black cube, smaller than it looks in the pictures, by the way, crams in a 6-core AMD CPU and dedicated Radeon GPU. It uses space-saving combination of a 120-millimeter fan and one sizable heatsink. There's a slim selection of ports on the front and back, including a USB Type-C, HDMI 2.0, and a DisplayPort and a micro SD card slot to quickly move games between a Steam Machine, a Deck, and the Steam Frame, which is the VR. The 6-core CPU and 28 CU GPU offer around 6 times more performance than a Steam Deck. This is a good, you know, this is a good impression of what you're getting. 6 times better than what a Steam Deck does, according to Valve. The GPU is semi-custom, meaning it has no exact match in the AMD's existing lineup, but it's roughly comparable to an RX 7400 in terms of shader cores, or an RX 7600M for both shader cores and clock speeds. That's a bunch of gibberish to tell you that it's not too bad as far as the graphics are concerned. Through SteamOS, Valve is offering fast suspend and resume features to quickly load into where you left off from the comfort of your sofa. It's also designed to work with the new and improved Steam controller. A dedicated antenna on the Steam machine can connect up to 4 Steam controllers. We still have no price or release date, only a rough launch window sometime in the new year. So that's what we know about the Steam machine. I kind of want to stick to that to keep going. And let me find it. Yeah. Built by Valve, powered by SteamOS, the new Steam machine is a compact gaming PC. One trying to make good on a promise Valve made a long time ago. Last time they did this was 2013. The Steam machines were back in 2013. They were these little boxes, kind of like what they've got here that you could plug into. I think they were almost, they were kind of like laptops, weren't they? Anyway, they had grand plans of reinventing what constitutes a gaming PC around its new creation, a Linux-based operating system called SteamOS. Years on, and following a few failed partner launches that you can read all about in their retrospective of their demise, which I do have open, by the way, the project was more or less doomed. By 2018, Valve pulled the plug. Or did it? Valve never stopped working on SteamOS, plugging away until it landed on the Steam Deck in 2022. Following the success of that, Valve feels ready to take a second punt at a system with more firepower. To quote the Valve engineer working on the Steam machine, he says, "We finally have all the software and hardware bits to make the original vision a reality." They mention that it's the right time because users are already making Steam machines happen, putting a recovery image of SteamOS onto a range of devices or using their Steam Deck while docked. He says, "Our customers kind of beat us to it." Goes into more specs. Does it give you the size? I wanted to kind of give you the size. It'll be released sometime next year. We don't know pricing yet, but with older mid-range components and Valve's own success with their budget-friendly Steam Deck, I'm hopeful for a convincing price tag here. There's a big gap in the market for a genuinely affordable gaming PC, and I'm hoping that this machine is going to plug it. Plus, the smaller 512GB option should be a decent amount cheaper than the 2TB model. Our benchmark has always been that it should have enough performance to play every game on Steam at 4K 60 frames per second when you do some sort of upscaling like FSR, said the engineer that they talked to. That's a lofty goal. This reporter had a chance to play Cyberpunk 2077 at 4K with FSR enabled at Valve's headquarters, and it ran pretty well on the Steam machine. It was certainly playable with no significant frame rate drops during my brief time with it, but neither was it a totally fluid experience. And I enjoyed much smoother gameplay by switching to 1080p, even without any upscaling technology enabled. I can see why Valve is targeting setting its sights on 4K. With the popularity of 4K TVs, that's likely to be the native revolution of a TV that the Steam machine sits in front of. It's many times faster than the Steam Deck, over 6 times faster according to Valve, though the older handheld isn't the best point of comparison for the more modern discrete components in the Steam machine. Compared to a modern gaming PC, the Steam machine is fairly underpowered. Quite literally, it only packs a 200-watt power supply. That's small. A fraction of the size of most modern desktop gaming PCs.
Way smaller.
Very. They've only confirmed a few details about the GPU. It has a 28 compute units, hewn from the RDNA 3 architecture. Clock speed of around 2.4, 2.5 gigahertz. I'm reading through real quick. The GPU might not be an exact match for anything currently offered in the Radeon 7000 series. Though being a derivative of the Navi 33, it gives us a pretty good idea of where it should land. The RX 7400 has the same number of CUs, but it has a lower clock speed and a much lower power draw. So, the other point of comparison is the Radeon RX 7600M, which has the same amount of compute units in it as well. A little more headroom there. So, now the design of it. A small black box may not be the most exciting design on the planet, but thankfully it's not an eyesore like the PlayStation 5. He says the design came out of thermal efficiency, acoustics, and making sure it would fit within a 6-inch shelving unit. The fact that it ended up as a cube which is Val's favorite shape, came later. When we started putting a thermal architecture together, that was the most efficient for performance. We found that, wow, this is really close to a cube. And so we're like, okay, it's so cute, close to a cube. Why don't we really try to make it an actual cube? So we had to be really careful about every little millimeter inside to make sure that we got proportions to look like a cube. I'm not necessarily liking that excuse. I'm like, you went with aesthetics over, you know, quality, I guess you could say. Like, okay, we're going to make it a cube. Now let's start shaping what we put inside of it to conform to that. I understand you were trying to make shelf space and that sort of thing, but who cares if it's a cube or not?
They did.
Obviously they did. Yeah. I know. But
other than being aesthetically pleasing to them.
Yeah. I mean, it's small.
What reason would you have to make it a cube, really? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really small.
I guess because it is a cube, it stands out because everyone else has their individual iconic shapes except just a cube.
Yeah. I'm looking it over here. They're just going over the design. There's the fan. Let's see. So
where's the fan on that thing?
Huh?
Yeah, where's the fan on that thing? On the back? Just.
Yeah, I'll tell you here. So they remove the outer casing during a demonstration, and the internal components take advantage of every square inch of it. The power supply sits at the bottom, with the front and rear I/O on each side. We're using the power supply as the chassis for the system, which is something we're actually really proud of because it removes a lot of brackets and modules and simplifies the design really, really well. It also simplifies the RF shielding situation because the motherboard and other electronics are sandwiched between two metal shells, so you don't have to add components. On top of the power supply sits the motherboard, which is only just visible beneath the heatsink, which sits atop of it. The heatsink cools the CPU, the GPU, the memory, the power delivery, a lot. So it's pretty chunky. Attached to the rear is a single 120mm fan, the only one in the entire system. We just wanted something that's really compact and really powerful that can easily fit in your living room and that actually turned out to be more of a challenge than we thought. Because people love to kind of cram their devices in the corner of their room or inside a cabinet. So one, it needed to fit. Two, it needed great airflow. And one of the things that were actually really important to us is we wanted to use a single fan. It's a custom designed fan. We iterated a ton of different blade geometries. The design reminds me of a server rack, which are often meticulously designed to ensure a steady flow of air over hot components. I'm told Valve took inspiration from here too. Though what stands out most of all is how little I can hear the steam machine while it's running. We stood around the steam machine discussing it while it sits on the Cyberpunk 2077 title screen, and I can't make it out. There are four antenna on the steam machine, two on the back, two on the front. The rear-facing antenna are responsible for the Wi-Fi 6E connectivity. One on the front is for Bluetooth, separated from Wi-Fi for more consistent performance. The other one on the front is for connecting up to four Steam controllers, replacing the controllers included puck as well. That's nice because that means you don't have to plug in controllers into the very few ports that you have on the machine itself.
Yeah.
Faceplate is removable, mainly for removing dust that builds up over time, though Valve is considering how best to offer some level of customization here. It has a few prototype plates in its office, a wood effect one, a Team Fortress 2 one, and an e-ink display that monitors key metrics. For now, Valve doesn't seem to have a definitive plan for customization options. It does have the integrated light strip running above the front I/O. This can be adjusted to display whatever color you want, or moreover, act as a visual cue of what the Steam machine is up to. It can display how far a game download has progressed, alert you to messages, and so on. If you don't like it, you can just turn it off.
Yeah, mods will take care of the customization part.
Yeah. It says the core parts that we're considering to be upgradable would be the M2 storage as well as the RAM. That's interesting. The Steam machine comes with a single NVMe slot, easily accessible from the underside of the unit. There are two options available, 512 or 2 terabytes. These drives will be the 2230 in size, which is the smaller SSD form factor. That's the one they use on the Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
So a regular NMV or NMVE is rectangular in size.
Yeah.
Still small. Looks like a long USB stick, basically. Mm-hmm. Long thumb drive. and you plug that directly onto the motherboard. The 2230 size, it takes that rectangle and makes it into a square. So it shortens it, smaller, but yeah. So if that's customizable, that's great, because buy the 512, upgrade it yourself.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the route I would go with it if that's something I was going to do. Mm-hmm. Now, upgrading the storage, upgrading the RAM, that's all great, but if you can't upgrade the graphics card, then it really depends on what the price on this thing is going to be. Because your storage is not going to improve the looks of the games that you're playing. Your RAM is not going to improve the looks of the game that you're playing. It might improve the speed that you're getting from them.
Mm-hmm.
Load times, things like that. But it's not going to help in the visual department.
Yeah.
That's pushing from the CPU and the GPU. And if those are not upgradable, which it doesn't sound like they are, then you are stuck with what you've got, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Steam Deck. I can upgrade the memory in the thing, the storage. I can't upgrade the visuals. There's not a world where I can connect if I really wanted to get into it, there's probably a way for me to put in a different graphics card, but that would take a massive amount of knowledge that I am not privy to.
Yeah, I was about to say a whole bunch of trial and error. A
lot of soldering, a lot of, it would spend a lot of time experimentation to try and get it done. There are probably people who have,
mm-hmm.
and they've gotten it done, but at what cost, you know?
Yeah.
So, not something that I'm looking to do. Speaking of that, by the way, let me try and find, this comes from Rock Paper Shotgun. Speaking to IGN, Valve software engineer Pierre, I'll just leave it at that because the last two names I'm probably going to butcher, shared that there are no plans for an upgraded version of the Steam Deck somewhere along the line. And it's just that the technology just isn't there yet. Quoting them, obviously the Steam Deck's not our focus today, but the same things we've said in the past, where we're really interested to work on what's next for the Steam Deck, the thing we're making sure of is that it's a worthwhile enough performance upgrade to make sense as a standalone product. He noted how Valve isn't interested in marginal improvements of performance at the same battery life, and that they want something a little bit more demarcated than that. And I think we have a pretty good idea of what the next version of Steam Deck is going to be, but right now there's no offerings in that landscape. There's nothing there that they think would be a truly next-gen performance Steam Deck. So we'll get there eventually, but we're not anywhere near that anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So just in case you're wondering of like, they're probably going to announce a Steam Deck 2 pretty soon, it doesn't sound like they are. So if you see a good deal on a Steam Deck, if you're looking to get into the Steam Deck world, there's deals out there. There's been some refurbished OLEDs that are really good that you can pick up for like $300. the LCD versions constantly go on sale. I imagine there'll be a Black Friday sale on Steam for the Steam Deck. They usually do that. Mm-hmm. The holiday sale in December will probably put those on sale as well. And you get a pretty good price out of it, especially if you go lower tier. If you don't care about the OLED or if you don't care about the memory in it, mm-hmm. because you can upgrade that, go with the LCD, go with the low version of it. You're paying like $300, and then you can upgrade it yourself with new stuff. It's very simple to do. I am not very good at... I can build a PC, but I mean, I went to a video on YouTube on how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I looked up what I needed, found those parts, got them, and then I looked up a video on how to switch out the storage thing. And they're very, very good. I mean, Steam makes it very easy. Valve makes it very easy to take apart the Steam Deck and move this stuff around.
Hmm.
My point is that if I can do it, you can do it. And if that's something you're interested in, if it's something you're interested in, feel free to hit me up. I can show you exactly what I did. I can show you the videos that I went to find it. I can give you any kind of pointers or tips if you want to upgrade your Steam Deck. You know, maybe you want to buy this for a Christmas gift, but you want it to have already, you know, got everything in there ready to go Christmas Day, so you don't have to actually, okay, son, whatever you're, whoever you're giving this to. Mm-hmm. Let Daddy take this back for a minute because he's got to mod it. No, no, no. You open that thing up, you go ahead and get it modded. That way they're playing with it day one. Mm. Or if you're buying this for yourself, I'll help you go through that too. I'm always happy to help somebody get through, you know, get more out of their product that they bought. Because when a company gives you the freedom to do that, I think that's a worthy investment. A lot of companies don't. Some companies make it so difficult. You ever tried to change the battery in a BMW? Or a Mercedes?
Yeah. But the Buick Regal is the one that irritated me the most.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I know the one in the BMW is just annoying.
Yeah.
Because it's in the trunk, but it's under...
Same with the Regal.
Under all this crap that you have to unbolt and move out and all this... Oh, God, it was annoying.
Yeah.
Horrible. I would rather... Like, obviously, I'd rather take it in and get it replaced by somebody else. But if I couldn't, I'd rather jump it off every single time I need it than to have to try and figure out how to switch the battery out.
Yeah.
On the BMW type. It's just so annoying.
Couldn't hook it up to the battery either.
Huh?
Couldn't hook it up to the battery either.
Yeah.
Had to go to a terminal that was...
That was in the front.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That, yeah, but that's the goal. Make it so tedious and annoying that you will be going to the dealership to get that get that mess handled. There's a method to their madness.
Yeah. That's right. Mercuru X says, Alienware made a few steam machines back in those days. They absolutely did. I remember that. MSI, I think, may have done some too. But I remember being at E3 one of them years. This says 2013, I think, or 2010. I can't remember what dates were in there. But I was at an E3 where you could check out steam machines. And... I can't remember what we said about them. I know it wasn't something I was interested in. Because I could build a PC that was more powerful, I guess, at that time than you could for a steam machine and what they were using, but yeah. AC Red says, how much of an upgrade do you need for that tiny screen? I mean, it's a portable gaming system. So if you're talking about graphics upgrade, I mean, sure. If there was some way we could take the GPU out of a Steam Deck and replace it with a new one, I say a new one, but a more advanced one or something like that could work on it. If there was a way to do that, and there likely is, for somebody way more experienced than I am, I wouldn't even try it. Even if you could do it, I likely would not even try that. But as far as your storage, it's more so a sense of getting the device for cheaper and then upgrading it when I'm ready. So that's why I got the 64 gig version and then found a cheapo NVMe 1 or 2 terabyte. I can't remember what I got. I think it was a 1 terabyte.
Yeah, bottom line is bigger than what you had in there. Exactly. To begin with.
And I didn't have to pay whatever the fee was because I think it was like $600 for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could pay $345 or $340, I can't remember what it was for that way back when. Mm-hmm. And then I bought an NVMe for, I don't know, $80, maybe less, because it was on sale.
Yeah.
And I mean, I held on to that Steam Deck for a very long time before I actually cracked it open and did the switch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was waiting for a deal on that card, on the memory card, or the memory storage thing. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour here, and we'll come back. We'll talk about the frame. We'll talk about the controller, although there's not much to talk about there. There's more stuff here that we're not even getting to, it looks like. But I'll try and run down as fast as I can on a lot of stuff. Call of Duty not doing too well, by the way. We'll talk about it coming up. Here's music from 1010 on the Moon, a game I never heard of, but a game nonetheless that was released, I don't know when. But 1010 on the Moon, it's the main theme. It goes way back, and here it is for you. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into the show there. That is music from a game called Fire, but it's apparently it's F-I-R-E. In other words, that is an abbreviation for something. Anyway, it was out on, I think, the Spectrum, whatever machine that was.
Hmm.
That's the title track for it. It's pretty good. Not bad. Welcome back to the show. So yeah, we've got, 20 minutes here to go over some stuff, and I'm trying to burn through it as fast as I can. Really wanted to go over the history of the steam machines. It would be great to do, but yeah, it was not something that lasted very well, or very long. Oh man, there's pictures of them. I forgot about those, man. Yeah. I don't even remember the price or anything like that, but yeah. Oh, that's apparently a video. Yeah, I'm not watching your video. Steam Frame is basically the VR system. Now, the Valve did have the Valve Index or Steam Index or whatever. It was a wired VR. But they're taking inspiration here from the Quest, which I thought was a game changer where VR was concerned. It was wireless. It all ran independent of anything. You just put the headset on, you had VR. That was it.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Compared to the inconvenience of having wires all over the house.
I had done the HTC Vibe, I think is what it was called, or Vibe, I don't remember what it was, but I had done that. I had done the Oculus, both of those wired. I had done the PSVR, which was wired.
Mm-hmm.
When I got the Quest on a pretty good deal and some trade-in over at GameStop or whatever, when I got the Quest, that was my first time with wireless internet. Game changer, man.
Yeah, I mean, VR with wires all over the place, the first thing I'm thinking of is a tripping hazard.
Not only that, but you run the risk of the wires being too short, walking around, something pulls.
Yep.
There's all kinds of different things with the wired problem. Also, the wired problem, you had to have, cameras set up, although maybe not anymore, but I know in those first gens, you had to have motion detectors and cameras that mm-hmm. would read what the headset, so it would know where it is in space. Mm-hmm. You didn't need that anymore with these MetaQuests and things like that they have now. And you won't need that with the Steam Frame either. They really have taken a cue from that. However, the interesting thing is that, so the Quest that you can get, which is, you can get the Quest S, which is kind of a smaller or a lower powered version,
mm-hmm.
Which is like 250 or 300. And then there's the Quest 3, which I think is like in the $300, $400 range, something like that. Anyway, those can connect to your PC and you can run VR games through Steam through that thing. They stream into your headset. It's fantastic. Wonderful. You're also locked, however, for any other gaming that is not required through Steam, you're locked into the meta economy type thing. Mm. And I mean meta in the sense of Facebook. I don't mean meta in the sense of meta. You're locked into the Facebook architecture, the Facebook store, stuff like that, where that's where you can buy the games, is through their store. You can buy Steam VR games and stream them into your thing, but if you're not near your computer and you're somewhere else, you don't have access to that. You only have access to what is connected to your account through the meta thing. As I understand it, the Steam Frame will not be able to reverse this. You will be able to play whatever's on your PC or whatever you load into the Steam Frame itself, but it does not have access to that meta store. If you already have a Quest 3, your games are locked to the Quest 3. You will not be able to play them on your Steam Frame. The Steam Frame does the same thing the Quest does, which connects to your PC wirelessly, streams games from there into your headset. The Quest is already doing this. The Steam Frame is likely to be cheaper than the Quest 3. It would likely be somewhere in between the Quest 3S and the Quest 3. The Steam Frame probably sits somewhere in between those. On power. I don't know about price. We don't know that yet. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out, because we just don't know anything just yet about that. But the fact that it's wireless, man, that's a good step.
Should be the standard.
Yeah. Uh, All right, because of our time, we're moving on from the Steam stuff to go to the next thing that we have here. Black Ops 7, their launch came and went, and the Steam player count is significantly lower than yet last year's Call of Duty, suggesting that ARC Raiders and Battlefield 6 are eating into a hefty portion of the launch audience for this game. Looking at my Discord here, I see that Duke Frukum somehow... Oh, okay. 8 days ago, he was playing City Skylines 2, but 10 minutes ago, he was playing Battlefield 6. So, speaking of, there are some Battlefield players going on right now. Which is fine, I get that. Call of Duty, for whatever reason, the momentum on that thing seems to have fallen way off. Especially this one. I had even forgotten when the launch day was for it. Not that I really paid attention much to them to begin with, but it totally came and really. Now, granted, this week has been one where I've been very detached from gaming news. I've just really been busy with work stuff.
Let's see, November 13th, it said when it came out.
Yeah, that was Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot going on.
Whoa.
What?
12% liked this game.
What are you looking at?
I'm just looking at Google. I just Googled Black Ops 7, and this thing said Google users 12% liked this game.
It's not great.
Yeah, and of course the video headlines in this thing. Yeah, not received well. I'll just put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, according to the Steam database, which uses public data from the Steam API, there were 81,000 users playing Call of Duty on Steam at the time of writing. Well below. So 81,000 people playing a game is kind of a lot. But when you look at Battlefield 6 and ARC Raiders, ARC Raiders is pulling in 370,000. Battlefield 6, 236,000. Call of Duty is 81,000. So, it's likely there is fatigue in the franchise, but I'm surprised it took this long.
If the game performed well, it probably wouldn't be a problem then, if that's the case.
Yeah, and I don't know how they've envisioned it performing well. Remember, it's Microsoft now, because they own Activision, and so this is a Microsoft property. I don't know how they look at this. I don't know how they measure the performance. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how they look at that and say, hey, we're doing good, because this is just from Steam. It does not account for your console players. And who knows how that's going. I've always envisioned Call of Duty as more of a console FPS than I have anything else. It does better on console, but that was more of the attach rate of console players to PC players. More people had consoles than they did PCs at the time of Call of Duty's hype. I'd say it still is hype, but... yeah, I think there's a fatigue in the franchise. What I would like for this to do is for them to pull an Assassin's Creed or to pull even a Battlefield and say, let's hold off on the next release. Let's take it away from them. Let's not do the same thing again. Let's hold off. Let's work a little bit. Let's release something completely different, but you know what I'm saying. Different, but
yeah, I don't know if
COD DNA, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to go too far from the...
Well, you always have... That's always the risk, right?
Yeah.
Too different, and you lose your audience. Too similar, and nobody shows up. Same old, same old.
Yeah.
You got to find that happy medium. And they would likely need to take some time away and try and find that happy medium. Do some research. Find out why people are not playing your game. Look at other games that are doing very well, like ARC Raiders and Battlefield 6, and try and find a reason why, and look into going in that direction. Who knows? But I'm kind of okay with it. Not that I want to see a bunch of people lose their jobs over it. I absolutely don't. But I also absolutely would like to see Call of Duty get reimagined, remade, read something. Switch
try
it up.
Try some innovation.
Yeah, switch it up, man. At this point, you're the sports game of the FPSs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just release a new one every single year.
So what do the sports games have that has that keeps bringing them back? I love the sport of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep coming back to it.
And that's fine.
But I am at the point, I have to admit, that I'm not buying it every year. There used to be a time that it was.
Yeah.
But now I'm like every other year. Like I did buy MLB The Show 23.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't buy 24. But I did get 25, and that was because it was at a discount. But I figured 2 years and see what innovations and changes they've made. Not to the game itself, but the fact that I can build stadiums now instead of just creating for teams and watch the storylines, thing like that. I missed it in 24, but I can always go to YouTube and look at that. But in terms of gameplay, I think every other year, I'm at the point where I'm buying the game every other year instead of every year like I used to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. And there may be people looking at that. But then again, I also believe that Arc Raiders and Battlefield 6 were enough of a competition and enough of sort of a...
I want to say quality and it's fun.
Well, I was going to say break of form. Like, not necessarily too much because it is still doing, you know, still shooty bangs getting loot.
Yeah.
But, of course, Arc Raiders haven't played. Battlefield 6, if it's anything like any of the other Battlefields, then it's doing a lot of what COD's doing, but it's been a while since we've had Battlefield. You know?
So it's the same genre, different implementation?
And not as frequently released. It has been a while since we had a Battlefield game, so it's like, oh, they're back with something new, because it's been a few years since we had it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's check it out. You know?
Always leave them wanting more.
Yeah. And at this point, people have put their money into Arc Raiders, put their money into Battlefield 6, and it's like, I'm good with these two. I'll get to COD whenever I want to get to COD. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the numbers don't really help that, because when you look at that, then it's like, are any of my friends playing it? Doesn't seem to be. All my friends are playing it on Arc Raiders or playing Battlefield 6.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And let's see. I was about to say price as well. Seeing how well that, $40. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let me talk about Splinter Cell for a second. Every single episode that we do, when I do the write-up for it, I have counted up the days that it's been since we have had a Splinter Cell release that wasn't a television show, a guest appearance in another game.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, you can play as Sam Fisher in Ghost Recon. Or there's these Splinter Cell missions inside Ghost Recon or something like that. Or a mobile game or some stupid stuff like that.
Yeah, Smash Brothers.
I've been counting it up. We're at like 4,000. Yeah, now we're at 4,000 some odd days since we've had a Splinter Cell release. Well, it turns out the leads behind the recently, we talked about it, the Dispatch game, about the superhero dispatch thing that we talked about, episodic type gaming. The leads behind that game, Ad Hoc Studio, have been all over the place. Telltale Games, Ubisoft, Night School Studio, some pretty notable names. But today, we're honing in on their time at Ubisoft in particular, because a recent report dives into the long story that led Ad Hoc to making Dispatch. Before they were doing that, they were working on a completely new Splinter Cell game at Ubisoft. Nick Herman, one of the co-founders of Ad Hoc, shared the said detail with Bloomberg, saying that he was so excited to be a part of this and help revitalize it, because it's been dormant for a while. Yes, it has. 4,000 and some odd days. I've been, not that I'm counting, but I am. We thought we could tell a great story and do something that fans would love. Obviously, this game never materialized, and according to Herman, it was partially due to the whims of executives at the time. Oh, if we want to talk about that old chestnut as we have,
mm-hmm.
Here's another one. Hello, Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad should also be the name of these executives who decide to change the games, because that is exactly what they're doing to their companies. They're killing them. This was back in 2017, a time when Ubisoft was gaining interest in live service games, and so this new Splinter Cell game just didn't fit into that vision. We tried, Herman said. let's make a narrative games as a service game. We were trying to make that make sense, and a lot of cool prototypes were made. Nothing they did try worked, apparently, but eventually it somehow morphed into a game called X Defiant. This was post the ad hoc team forming, by the way. If you need a reminder, X Defiant was shut down only a year after it was released, resulting in mass layoffs. It also started life as a Tom Clancy game, so you can see the Splinter Cell connection at least. It's probably worth noting that X Defiant producer Mark Rubin commented on his personal Twitter account regarding this report from Bloomberg, claiming that it wasn't true and that the shooter had never started life as a Splinter Cell game. However, as pointed by the author of the Bloomberg report, Jason Schreier, Rubin joined Ubisoft in 2019, 2 years after the Dispatch team was working on Splinter Cell. So yes, the folks that made Dispatch were working on a Splinter Cell game once upon a time, as long as nobody's lying to us. And if they are, please don't shoot me. But yeah, we were close to having a Splinter Cell game. And Ubisoft exec says, nope, we want a games as a service. We're greedy. We want more money. So do this instead. And what did you get? A game that was shut down 1 year after its release. Wouldn't have had that with a Splinter Cell game, Ubisoft. Yep. You just sold some games.
Yeah, I was looking up X Defiant. So it was released May 21st of 2024, and then I see it was shut. The servers were shut down June of 2025.
Yeah.
1 year. And that was all she wrote.
What else do we have? Man, there's more layoffs as well. There was some other stuff to go over about. I mean, there's still a lot. The MMO that we were talking about is Horizon. You know, the old mechanical dinosaur game?
Yeah, Horizon. Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon... Yeah.
Forbidden West.
Well, now we have Horizon Steel Frontiers. It's an MMO based on the PlayStation series, and it's coming to PC and mobile, but not PS5. I do not know exactly when we're going to get that, but... Yeah. So, we are getting an MMO in the Horizon world. What else do we have? How much time we got? Okay. Black Ops 7, Arrowhead. Oh, man, there's a whole article here about the HDD, the hard disk drives, the DRAMs, all that stuff. There's another thing about Call of Duty Black Ops 7 where the campaign cannot be paused by solo players. It also has no checkpoint, and it requires an online connection at all times.
Hmm.
I got a few minutes to read that, but not a lot.
Can't pause solo.
Uh-huh. Many of the, to their surprise, they're discovering a few quirks proving to be a tad frustrating. Many of these problems stem from the solo experience. For one, the campaign cannot be paused, even if you're playing on your own. The narrative focuses on a squad of characters, but no AI companions come in to replace the role another player would. It has no checkpoint system, meaning if you quit out of the game for any reason, you'll have to start a mission over from the beginning. Also, the campaign requires an online connection at all times, meaning if you suddenly go offline for whatever reason, including game updates, which can appear daily and without warning, you will lose progress.
Hmm. Oversight? Rush job?
It says that it's especially clear the campaign is intended to be a group experience. Even if you tend to play on your own, you have to engage with the game's matchmaking and lobby-making process to start playing the campaign. That being said, it has still come to a shock for many solo campaign experience seems to have been released in these apparent with these apparent issues. That's weird. That's, hey, play solo, but you better queue up before you do that. Just odd. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Next week's our big Black Friday show. Hopefully we'll have enough of the listings there to give you plenty of stuff here. So far we have nothing, but what a difference a week makes. I can tell you that much. We're going to leave you today with a song from Cybernoid 2. It's the main theme from that game. You guys have a fantastic week. Don't forget about them sales, and we will see you next Saturday.